we're guaranteeing, I'm guaranteeing, and I know you're going to receive by faith, even if you don't have a Bible, just listen to these verses and faith is going to come for you. Amen. Now, everyone's at Psalm 91. I'm going to begin reading at verse 1. And those of you at home, you know, I'm always an interactive kind of guy. I want you to join in reading with me. Okay, so if you have your Bible, if you have it on your tablet, read with me. Let's read. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Verse 2. And I will say of the Lord. Now notice what he said. The psalmist says, I will say. So guess what? We're going to say, right? Say this with me. Say, I will say of the Lord. He is my refuge and my fortress, my God. In him will I trust. See, it's important that we say that. And it's important for you to say that in a time such as this. So let's say it one more time. Say it this way. Say it again. Say, I say of the Lord, he is my refuge. He is my fortress. He is my God. And in him will I trust. Didn't that sound good? Didn't that resonate in your spirit? Let's keep on reading. Verse 3. He says this, surely he shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be your shield and buckler. You shall not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day. Now, isn't that so true today? If you turn on the news, anytime you turn on the news, really you're not hearing good news, right? So it can sound like a terror. But guess what? We don't have to be afraid, or the arrow that flieth by day. Verse 6, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness. Now, doesn't that sound a little bit familiar today, what we're dealing with? What we, not only in this nation, but around the world dealing with? Nor the pestilence that walks in darkness, nor the destruction that wasted at noonday. Verse 7, 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh you. Verse 8, only with thine eyes shall thou behold and see the reward of the wicked. Verse 9, because thou hast made the Lord, which is your refuge, or thy refuge, right? Because you have made the Lord your refuge, even the Most High thy habitation. Now listen to this. There shall no evil befall you, neither shall any plague come near your dwelling. I want you to say that with me out there. Those of you there, say this with me. Say, no evil shall befall me, nor any plague come near my dwelling. So right where you are right now, where you are, and if some of you, if you're by yourself, I want you to know this. No evil shall befall you. I know sometimes many of us, and especially our senior citizens, and if you're by yourself, the thought is, what if I fall? What if I slip? Who can help me? I'm here by myself. But I'm here to tell you right now, according to the word of God, no evil shall befall you, nor any plague come near your dwelling. Okay? That is so important. I want you to say, let's say it again. Say that. Say, no evil shall befall me, nor any plague come near my dwelling. Now, that's good to know. That's good to understand, okay? Now, here's the reason why. Look at verse 11. For he shall give his angels, what? Charge over thee, to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and the adder, and the young lion and the dragon shall thou trample under feet. Verse 14, I like this. Because he has set his love upon me. Now, think about that, beloved. Think about that for a moment. God, our Heavenly Father, has set his love upon you. Because he set his love upon you, right? Therefore, listen to what he says. God is saying, because he has set his love upon you, therefore will I deliver him. So that's the good news for tonight. That's the good news for today. God is a God of our deliverance. Say that with me. Say, God is a God of deliverance. Now say this, my God is my God of deliverance. Amen? Let's keep on going. Okay, let's keep on going in this because this is so good. He says, I will be with him in trouble. Now, let me take a step back. I will set him on high. God is saying he's going to set us on high. Why? Because we know his name. Verse 15, he shall call upon me and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. Now, this is God speaking. This is our Heavenly Father speaking to you tonight. He said, I will be with you in trouble. And guess what he said? He's not just only going to be with us in trouble, but he's going to do what? Deliver us. Okay? And he says, I will deliver him and he will honor us. Okay? Now look at verse 16. This is the one that I love out of all the Psalm 91. With long life will I satisfy him. Now this is God speaking to us. God speaking to you and me. With long life, he will satisfy us and show us his salvation. Amen. Isn't that good? Now, I'm pretty sure many of you have been meditating on that scripture. I'm pretty sure many of you have been looking at it in other translations. But for tonight, what I wanted to do, I've been meditating on this for several weeks, even before we heard about this outbreak. But I've been meditating on this, but I've been looking at this in the Passion Translation. And if you want to know what the message or the lesson for tonight is, the lesson for tonight is this, that because we're in Christ, because we can take the promises of God's word and we're looking at it in Psalm 91, God's promises to us is that we are safe and secure. Now, I want you to say that. Say safe and secure. Those are two different things, but they are very important things. We are safe and secure. Now, what I want to do, I'm going to read Psalm 91 again, but let's look at it in light of the Passion Translation. Amen. He says it this way. He says, when you sit enthroned under the shadow of Shaddai, right? But I inserted this. When you sit enthroned under the shadow of El Shaddai, okay? El Shaddai. In the Old Testament, the name El Shaddai was one of God's redemptive names. That name was the all-sufficient one, or the breasty one, the one who supplies all in all, right? So listen to what he says. When you sit enthroned. Now, think about it. When you look at Psalm 91, Psalm 91 was written really in the Old Testament, right? So some people would say, well, Psalm 91, that's Old Testament. We're the church with New Testament. That doesn't pertain to us. Not really. Not necessarily so. We're looking at extracting the principles. But I want to show you this psalm in light of the new. So now let's just take a step back. Now look at this. He says, when you sit enthroned. Now think about this for a moment. The church. Now that word enthroned, I want to just look at that word. That word enthroned, one of the definitions we could use for that word, enthroned means a place of dwelling, a place of seating, placing, right? In John, the 15th chapter of Gospel of John, don't turn there, I'll just say this to you. In John chapter 15, verse 7, Jesus says something very important to his disciples and to his believers. He says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you can ask what you will and it shall be done, right? Now, what was he really saying? He says, if you abide, if you sit enthroned, if you are with me, if you abide in me, and what else? His words, the word of God abiding in us. If we abide in Jesus Christ and his words, which is the word of God, abides in us, what can we do? We can ask, right? So in other words, we abide and dwell with God, right? But notice what he says, under the shadow of Shaddai, right? But I said under the shadow of El Shaddai, right? The all-sufficient one. So think about this for a moment. We are seated with Christ. Where? As the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 6, we are seated with him in heavenly places. So if we're seated with Christ in heavenly places, then we are what? Enthroned under the shadow of God, right? Now look at what he says. I'm continuing this in the Passion Translation. You are hidden in the strength of God Most High. Now, in the Old Testament, the God Most High, the title that they had for God Most High, because remember, God in the Old Testament didn't reveal himself. He concealed himself, but he was revealing himself in the names of his redemptive names. The name here, God Most High, was El Elyon. So the children of Israel knew God as El Elyon, as the Most High God. But now I want you to see something. The Most High God. Think about that for a moment. Now turn in your Bible to Philippians. We're going to come back to Psalm 91. But turn in your Bibles to the book of Philippians, the Most High God, right? Philippians chapter 2. Look at what he says here, referring to Jesus. He starts off by saying, let this mind be in you, right? Which was in Christ Jesus. But now let's move down to verse 9. Wherefore, because it's referring to Jesus, right? He humbled himself, became obedient, even unto death on the cross. But let's see what happens here. Verse 9. Wherefore God hath highly exalted him. God the Father hath highly exalted him, Jesus, right? You see that? And given him what? A name. So God highly exalted Jesus and gave him a name, which is above what? Every name. So the name of Jesus is above El Elyon, okay? That at the name of Jesus, now listen to this, every knee should bow of things in heaven, things in the earth, and things under the earth. Now let me ask you this question. This coronavirus outbreak that or pandemic, the thing that's going on, it's where? In the earth. But guess what? It has to, and it has. It has already. It has bowed its knee to the name of Jesus, the Most High God. Now, let's go back to Psalm 91. He's the hope that holds me. Say that. Say, Jesus is the hope that holds me and the stronghold to shelter me. You got that? God is not only, he's not only Most High God, not only is he the hope that holds us, but he's the stronghold to shelter us. So right now, you and I, beloved, we are under the shelter of God. Now, we have to be quarantined. We have to be relegated to where we are in our own homes. But I want you to think about this. No matter where you find yourself, if you're in your apartment, if you're in your house, if you're in a hotel room, if you're in a whatever you are, hospital, wherever you are, I want you to know this. As a believer in Jesus Christ, you are enthroned. You are under his shelter. You are under his protection. Amen? Say that with me. Say, I am under God's shelter, and I am under his protection. All right, good, good. You're getting it. We're going somewhere. Like I always tell you, we're going somewhere. So just stay with me. Don't unhook. Now, look at what he says here. The only God for me, my great confidence. Now think about this for a moment. He's the only God for us. He's our, I want to go back to this again. I don't want to miss this. He's a stronghold and a shelter for me. You know what that reminds me of? That reminds me of what it says in Proverbs chapter 18, verse 10. Don't turn it. You don't have to turn it. But I'm just going to say it for you. Proverbs chapter 18, verse 10 says it this way. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. And the righteous do what? They run into it and they are what? Safe. Say that with me. Say, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into it and they are safe. Now, I want you to say it this way. Say, Jesus is the name of the Lord. He's my strong tower. I am the righteous. I run into him because I'm in him. And I am safe. So you got to keep saying that to yourself, okay? Jesus is the strong tower. We run into him and we are safe. Now look at this. Let's keep on going in Psalm 91. He says, the only God for me, my great confidence. Now notice this. My great confidence. The only God for me, my great confidence. You know, Psalm the 20th Psalm, verse 7 says it this way. You don't have to turn there. Just listen. He says, the psalmist says it this way. He says, some trust in chariots, some trust in horses, but we will do what? Remember the name of our Lord, our God, right? But I like it better in Psalm 118, the 118th Psalm. The 118th Psalm in verse 8, it says it this way. The psalmist says, it is better to trust in the Lord than to put your confidence in man. Let me say that one more time. Psalm 118, verse 8. It is better to put your confidence in the Lord and not in man. Okay? That is so important. Now, once again, I thank God for our president. I thank God for the doctors and everyone that's working on this solution. I thank God for everybody involved in all this. But my confidence is not in the government. My confidence is not in the president. My confidence is not in the state. My confidence is in who? In the Lord, my God. Amen. So that's something we need to say. I want you to say this with me. Say, Lord Jesus, I trust you. One more time, say it. Lord Jesus, I trust you. All right, very good, very good. Now, what I want you to do, let's look at this psalm. Let's keep on going with this psalm. Listen to what he says here. He will rescue you. Listen to the promise of God. He will rescue you from every hidden trap of the enemy. Now, I want you to think about that for a minute. You know, a trap is set to what? Snare you. And in this time of what we're dealing with, in this season of what we're in, of this adversity, there are going to be snares out there. You know, some people want to hoard something. Some people want to grab something. Oh, I'm panicking, so I did this. I'm not going to pay this because I don't know where my money is. See, the enemy is always going to try to set up those snares, okay? But notice what he says here. He says, he will rescue you from every hidden trap of the enemy. So those notices of bill due, rent due, mortgage due, don't you know that didn't take God by surprise? Don't let it take you by surprise. Don't let the enemy set those snares to try to get your focus off of the promise keeper. Amen? So let's keep on looking at this, okay? He will protect you from false accusation. So even if people try to label you or say something to you, God is going to protect you. He's your protector. You don't have to validate yourself. You don't have to tell people why you're doing what you're doing. All you have to do is, and even when they're giving false accusation, the word of God tells us that he will protect you. And I like this, in any deadly curse. Now, what I did is I add in there, in any deadly curse or pestilence or disease or virus. He will do what? Protect us, right? Now, listen to this. Verse 4, I love this. His massive arms are wrapped around you. Now, I want you to think about this. When it talks about God's arms being wrapped around you, what does that really mean? You know, in the Old Testament, and in the Old Testament, we see many instances where the writer writes, the hand of the Lord was upon so-and-so, the hand of the Lord was here, the hand of the Lord came upon the prophet, the hand of the Lord came upon the king, the hand of the Lord came upon the priest. The hand of the Lord. What does the hand of the Lord really mean? Well, for our study here, for purposes of this Bible study, the hand of the Lord is really his anointing. So now listen, let me ask you this question. My physiological students, my medical students, what is your hand connected to? What are our hands connected to? That's right, arms. So look at this. Let's go back to this scripture. Go back to it. Take a look. It didn't just say his little arms, his what? His massive arms are wrapped around you, protecting you. God's anointing right now is wrapping himself around you, protecting you. Where you are right now, God's massive arms, not little arms, not weak arms, not frail arms, his massive arms. Arnold Schwarzenegger ain't got nothing on him, right? His massive arms are around you. His anointing is around you. Amen. You see that? He's wrapped around you. And what is he doing? Protecting you. Now look at what he says. You can run under his covering of his majesty and hide. Now keep on going. His arms of faithfulness. Now remember we said arms, his anointing, right? But look at this. God's anointing, his arms of faithfulness are what? A shield keeping you from harm. His arms of faithfulness. Now say this with me. Say, God, you are faithful. Say that one more time. Say, God, you are faithful. Beloved, think about that. God is faithful. So no matter what you're being pressed with right now, no matter what you're being confronted with right now, know this for a certainty, know this for a reality, know this for a Bible truth that God has given us. God is faithful. I've been in many situations. I know you have too, and our pastors have. We have been in many situations where it didn't look too good. But here's what we found out. Here's what we discovered. Because when we made a decision to take God at his word, to do what God says to do, to receive what he says, by his stripes, we're healed. It makes no difference how you feel. By his stripes, you are healed. So what we do is we take God at his word, right? Why? Because God is faithful. Say that one more time. Say, my God is faithful. And if you're watching this for the very first time, you never realize, and you're not too sure who God is or what this is all about, I want you to know this. God is faithful. He'll be faithful to you. Amen? Now, let's keep on looking in this, okay? Because this is so good. You can run under the arms of his majesty. They're like a shield keeping you from harm. His arms keeps us from harm. I like that. Say that when you say, his arms keeps me from harm. Now let's keep on going. Verse 5. You will never worry about an attack of demonic forces at night. Let me say that one more time. You will never worry about an attack of demonic forces at night. You know, I was in the army, I was in the military, and one of the things they always told us is that our enemies will always attack at night. So you got to be ready, right? But notice what he says here. You don't have to worry about the demonic attacks of the enemy at night, demonic forces at night, nor have to fear a spirit of darkness come against you. Now, I know some of you that are in your home, in your apartment by yourself, and, you know, the neighborhood, as people tell you, is not so friendly, and the neighbors are now shutting down because of all this stuff. And sometimes it can get a little, you know, it can get a little edgy there where you start to say, well, I wonder what's going to happen at night. But here's what God is saying. He's saying this to you. You will never worry about an attack of the enemy. Now, think about this. You don't have to worry, nor have to fear a spirit of darkness coming against you. Now, why is that? 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7, the Apostle Paul telling Timothy, but also telling us, he says it this way, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of what? Love, power, and a sound mind. So keep that in mind. Say it with me. Say, God, you haven't given me the spirit of fear, but you've given me a spirit of love, power, and a sound mind. Amen. Isn't that good? Isn't that good to know? So we don't have to fear a thing. That's what verse 6 says. You don't fear a thing. Now, here's something I want you to understand. Fear can come to all of us. Fear can come in many situations, many aspects. It can come to all of us. But guess what? We don't have to fear, because the moment we're in fear, it negates our faith. Now, we're familiar, some of you are familiar with Job. Remember Job? And Job, the Bible says, was a righteous man. He eschewed evil, and he and God bragged on him. But there was something about Job that the enemy couldn't get past that hedge. Remember, because God was bragging on him in front of Satan. Satan said, you got a hedge around him. But what happened was that hedge came down. Now, how did that hedge come down? Later on in the book of Job, I'm not doing a study in the book of Job, but later on you'll find in the 6th chapter, Job says something like this. He said, that thing that I greatly feared had come upon me. So in other words, God was bragging on Job. God had a hedge of protection around him. God has a hedge of protection around you. But we need to take the lesson from Job. Do not allow fear, because fear will tear down that hedge. Faith keeps it up. Amen. Everyone got that? So say this to me. Say, no fear here. No fear here. Okay? Now let's keep on going in this psalm, because this is so good. Now look at what he says. Nor will the powers of evil launched against you. Now, I don't know about you. I don't know where you are or what your thought is. But the events that are going on today, this is a launch of the enemy. This is a launch of Satan against this world. But I got good news for you. This past Sunday, that virus was broken. The spirit behind that was broken in Jesus' name. But now what we're looking at is the fallout, and things happen in the realm of the spirit, and it takes a while for it to manifest. So sometimes it'll take a while to manifest in the natural. But here's what I want you to see. Here's what I want you to see. The powers of evil launched against you. No powers of evil launched against you. And that says it in Isaiah 54, verse 17. What does Isaiah 54, verse 17 says? The prophet says, no weapon that is formed against you will prosper. Now, that didn't say no weapons are going to try to be formed. It did not say that the evil powers that weren't launched, they were launched, right, against us, but they are not going to prosper. So let's keep on going with this. Even in a time of disaster, we're back at the 91st Psalm. Even in a time of disaster, with thousands and thousands being killed, you can remain unscathed, that means untouched, and unharmed. You will be a spectator as the wicked perish in judgment, for they will be paid back for what they have done. But now here's what I want us to focus on. I want you to focus in on this. Verse 9 and 10. When we live our lives within the shadow of the Most High. Now, let me paraphrase that. When we live our lives in the power, when we live our lives in the presence, when we live our lives dwelling in the Word, when we live our lives dwelling in Christ. You got that? When we live our lives in the shadow of the Most High, His presence, our secret hiding place, we will always be shielded from harm. Say this with me. Say, because I dwell in the presence of Almighty God, because I am under the shadow of His covering, no evil shall come near me, no pestilence shall come near me, and because I'm in that hiding place with Him, I am always shielded from harm. Now, let me just share something with you, because I know some of you are thinking about this. Well, what if I'm a believer and I tested positive for this virus? What happened? Nothing happened. It's like this. I'll give you an example. In my house, one time, the window was open, and a bat flew in, right? A bat, you know, he flew around. Now, here's the key. I had no say because the window was open. He came through the window. He flew through the window. He came in our house. But here's the deal. He came in. He may have came in, but he wasn't going to stay. I made sure he wasn't going to stay. So I want to tell you right now, if you've experienced some types of symptoms of virus, it came into your body, but it is not going to stay. You hear that? It's not going to stay. Don't let it take up resident. Don't let it try to pitch a tent. It's not going to stay. You kick it out. Everyone got that? We have the authority to do that. Amen. But let's go back to this. Our secret hiding place, we will always be shielded from harm. Now listen to what he says. How then could evil prevail against us or disease infect us? Let me say it again. Because we're dwelling in that place, because we are in Christ. The New Testament says this, for each and every one of us that has accepted Jesus Christ, we came into the body of Christ. So technically, we are in Christ. I'm not trying to get in Christ. I am in Christ. You and I are in Christ. So here's what I want you to see. Here's what I want you to think about. Because we are shielded and we're in Christ, we are shielded from all harm. How then could evil prevail against us? Evil will not prevail against you. Say that. Evil, you will not prevail against me. Say this also. Disease, you will not prevail against me. Viral infection, you will not prevail against me. Now, here's the reason why. Look at verse 11. God sends angels with special orders to protect you wherever you go. Now, that's a whole lesson all in itself. I can share a whole lesson about that, the ministry of angels. But right here in the midst of this Psalm 91, being safe and secure, God has also shown us his agents. These are God's insurance agents. You know, you talk about insurance agents in the world. These are God's insurance agents. They are going to ensure that we are protected. And I've had that happen on many occasions. God sends angels with what? Special orders. Now, remember this. Angels hearken to the voice of the word of God. So we, you and I, and guess what? Angels have been sent to us. That's what it says in Hebrews, the first chapter. Angels have been sent to us to minister for us. In other words, angels will serve us. But guess what? They're not just going to go with every word we say. An angel's not going to bring you a Big Mac. I'm going to tell you that right now. They're not going to bring you a Big Mac. But what the angels will do, whatever God's word says, and you send the angel with that word, he will come and do that word. What had happened with Daniel? Remember Daniel, 21 days, when he was fasting in prayer, and the angel Michael appeared to him? He said what? I've come for what? Your words. So the angels work for us. Amen? Now look at it. God sends his angels with what? Special orders to protect you wherever you go, defending you from all harm. You got that? Now, I know people don't realize. Some people say, oh, that's too much. That sounds like a cartoon. That's not a cartoon. That is the word of God. I've had that happen with me personally where my car was driving in one direction. This guy hit me. Glass and everything went flying. I had a Plymouth Sundance, a 1989 Plymouth Sundance. This guy had a Lincoln Continental Mark V. Boom, he hit me on the side on the Grand Concourse in the Bronx. Glass and everything flying all over the place. My car's up like I'm up like lifted up, and I knew he totaled my car. When the police officer had him back off the cars because we had to move, the police couldn't believe it. The guy couldn't believe it. When you looked at the car, my car had not even a scratch on it. I'm not kidding. My little 1989 Plymouth Sundance had not even a scratch on it. That guy's Lincoln Continental Mark V, when he rolled it out, the whole grill looked like something bashed it. And they said, man, what did you hit? You know what he hit? He hit my angel. Amen. So God sends his angels to protect us and defend us from all harm. Now look at what happens. Verse 12, even if you walk in a trap, even if you go into an infected place, not knowing it, and this is a word to those of you who are healthcare professionals and you're on the front line with doctors and those that are drivers, everybody that's out there publicly and you're serving, even if you walk into an unsafe environment because you are a believer, God will protect you. Now, let's see what he says here. Even if you walk into a trap, right? They'll be there. In other words, the angels will be there for you and keep you from stumbling. You'll even walk unharmed among the fiercest powers of darkness. Now, I don't know about you, but this whole coronavirus pandemic, it sounds like to me, I don't know, it sounds like to me this is a fierce power of darkness that the enemy is trying to unleash on the world to bring fear and panic. But guess what? We'll walk and not even be harmed. In other words, we won't feel the effect. Think about it this way. We will not feel the effect nor have the end results of fierce powers of darkness because we're in Christ. Now, listen to what he says here, the angels, trampling every one of them beneath your feet. So think about that. Think about it for a moment. I know you never thought about it. I know we have to practice washing our hands. I know we have to sanitize areas, and we have to use all those things. But I want you to think about this. Think about this for a moment. The coronavirus right now, in accordance to God's word, and we're in covenant with God through Jesus Christ. Think about it. That's under our feet. So even if I walk on the coronavirus, it dies, not me. Okay? But that's what we're doing. We're taking God at his word, right? Now, look at verse 14. The psalmist now switches this. He says, here's what the Lord has spoken to me. Now, this is God speaking to you, beloved. You ready to hear this? Listen to what God is saying. Because you have delighted in me as my great lover, I will greatly protect you. You got that? Let me say it one more time. This is what God is saying to each and every one of you, each and every one of you watching this broadcast, each and every one of you listening to this. Because you have delighted in me as my great lover, I will greatly protect you. I will set you in a high place, safe and secure. You got that? Remember? Safe and secure. Safe and secure from my face. Now, when the Bible talks about God's face, it's talking about his presence. Now, listen to what he says here. He continues this thought. I will answer your cry for help every time you pray. Did you hear that? Did you get that? Did you get the essence of that? God said, I will answer your cry for help. Now, I know many of you right now, we're in these dire strait situations. And I know many of you, you're saying, oh, if I can just call somebody, if I can call the church, and please do call the church and leave a message request. We will get to you. But here's what I want you to know. Even if any church or any prayer line went down, right? If there was no prayer lines, listen to what God is saying to you. Now, once again, this is God giving you his personal. He's giving you a personal invitation. He says, I will answer your cry for help every time you pray, and you will find and feel my presence. Isn't that good to know? That when we enter in, and I believe this time that we're in, a lot of us are now spending more time in prayer in his presence. Amen? Even in your time of pressure and trouble, I will be your glorious hero, and I will give you a feast. Now, when I saw that word feast, this just leaped out of me, and I want to share it with you. God said he's going to be our glorious hero, and he's going to give you a feast. In other words, prosperity in the midst of adversity. Say that with me. Say, God is going to bring to me prosperity in the midst of my adversity. Now look at what he says. He closes it with verse 16. He says, you will be satisfied with a full life and with all that I will do for you, for you will enjoy the fullness of my salvation. Now listen, I'm going to say that one more time. You will be satisfied with a full life. I want that to sink in. Now, according to the Bible, a full life is not 60 years. A full life is not 70 years. A full life, according to the Bible, for the believer, is 120 years. You and I can be satisfied with 120 years. Now, if you don't want to be here for 120 years, that's your business. That's between you and God, okay? But I'm just telling you what God is saying here. He says, with long life, right? That's what it says in the King James. With long life, I will show you my salvation, God's salvation. Amen? Now, I want to before we close, I want to just give you this last verse. Jesus said this in John's Gospel, the 16th verse, verse 33. He said, these things I have spoken unto you, that in me you may have peace. So right now, there's peace in the midst of all of this. Amen? In the world, you shall have tribulation. This is one of the tribulations, right? But notice what Jesus said. He said, but what? Be of good cheer. Be of good cheer. Why? For I have overcome the world. Now, beloved, you and I are overcomers. Say that with me. Say, I am an overcomer in this life through Jesus Christ. Now, there may be someone here tonight that you watched this broadcast, and maybe you're not sure. You heard me talk about being in Christ. You heard these things. You like these things. But you've never made the decision to make Jesus Christ your personal Lord and Savior. If you would like to do that, I would be honored to lead you in this prayer. So those of you that are watching this broadcast and you've never made this prayer before, say this prayer with me. Say, Heavenly Father, I come tonight in the name of Jesus. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Jesus, come into my heart. I receive you now as my personal Lord and Savior. I believe in my heart that you were raised from the dead for my justification, and I confess with my mouth that you are Lord. Now, if you said that for the very first time, you were born again. You were born from above. And we'd like to welcome you into the family of God, into the kingdom of God. If that was you, please send it. Send an email into our ministry, and we'll send you some information about this new life, and we'll get you some information. Amen? Praise God. We're rejoicing. You know, God is rejoicing. God is happy. We're happy. And we're pleased to be here with you. Now, the last thing I want to leave you with before we close this broadcast, those of you who tuned into this ministry, and you know what the situation is happening in churches right now. Churches are not meeting, so therefore people are not congregating. And when people don't congregate, they don't bring their offerings, and we have a time of ministry of giving. Well, what I like to do right now is just lead you in the ministry of giving. Yeah, you right there. You can give online. If you go to our website, www.redeeminglovecc.org, go to the website. There's an information there how you can sign up for giving online. And those of you who are giving online, I want you to get ready right now. What I want us to do in this time right now, let's join our faith together. Let's join our faith together, believing that God is our source and supply. Now, it may mean that your funds may have been cut short because of jobs and all the. Listen, take something right now, whatever you have, and sow it as a seed. You know, the Bible says this, and I was talking with my wife about this morning. We were looking in Genesis, the 26th chapter. The Bible says that Isaac was in a land. There was famine in the land. But you know what Isaac did? The Bible says he sowed in famine. He sowed in a time of famine in that land. And the Bible says he received 100-fold. So what I want us to do, because you and I who are believers of Life Precious Faith, those of you who are partnering with the Redeeming Love Christian Center, and you faithfully and diligently bring your tithes and offerings into the storehouse like you do on Wednesday night, well, this is your opportunity to do that right now. So if you're making out a check, right, please make that check payable to RLCC. Today's date is April the 1st, 2020. Sign the check. You can mail the check. Okay, you could mail the check to the ministry. The ministry's address, I believe, is on the website. But if it's not, I'm just going to tell you what it is. Redeeming Love Christian Center, 145 West Route 59, Nanuet, New York, zip code 10954. That's all you need to do. Put it in an envelope. So let's lift up our offering. And if you're giving online, lift up your hand. I'm giving online. That's why I'm lifting up my hand. And say this with me. Say, Father, I thank you for this opportunity to bring our seed into the storehouse of RLCC. Father, in the midst of famine, we are sowing. And we thank you, Father, that these gifts we're bringing will bring glory to you and the needs are met in this ministry, in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, if you're watching me on phone, when we're through with this broadcast, you can come on and give. And remember, you can give anytime you want to. You can mail it in. But what I want you to do before you mail in is pray. Just count it as seed and sow it into this good ground. This ministry is good ground. I know that. This ministry is good ground. So on behalf of our pastors, I want to thank you for taking your time to sit and listen with us at Sunday School of the Bible. I will be with you on Sunday morning. The Lord has laid on my heart a wonderful, encouraging message on faith. You don't want to miss it. I want you to keep your expectations up. And keep looking up. Jesus is expected. God love you. We love you. Good night.